Does anybody recall what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks? The little series that I said we was going to start. Living the good life. Yeah. So last week we started talking about living the good life, and there are a couple of different ways that we're going to look at this, and a couple of or several different questions that we're going to try to answer while we're going through this, like such as what is the good life? How do I live the good life? What is hindering me from living the good life? I had all these written down, but I left that paper at home, of course, so we'll go from our memory the best we can. But so there's a lot of different ways that you could describe what is the good life, and I believe, again, if we asked tonight for us to define living the good life here sitting in church, that we would all have an answer that was similar about living the good life. But if you throw it out there on a much larger scale and ask people what is the good life, you would get a lot of different answers about what the good life is. So tonight we're going to look for just a few minutes about living the good life and how do I begin to live the good life. Now, first of all, let's just go ahead and get this disclaimer laid down, that it is impossible to live the good life without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here on Wednesday nights, the majority of the time, I feel like this is the backbone of the church. This is the ones who are maybe the foundation of the church, if you will. And I feel like most of the time that I'm talking mostly to saved people, and I trust that you know that the only possible way to live the good life is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But I want to lay that out to our first thing so that we can get that covered. And now from here on out, we're going to be talking about living the good life and how we're supposed to live as Christian people. For just a couple of minutes, though, last week I mentioned the Blue Letter Bible app. And I believe sometimes it's good to know some tools that you can use and you're studying and different things. And if you don't have that, I would strongly suggest you at least look at it. It might be something that you would like to have on your phone. Hey, everybody wants to talk about how technology is so bad. Hey, there are some things about technology that is so good also. So we need to take time to talk about those. But also I want to introduce you to one. Kirk was actually the one that showed me the Blue Letter Bible app. I want to introduce you to another one if you've never found it before, that James Reese introduced me to. Now, he didn't introduce me to the app, but he gave it to me in card form, trying to memorize Scripture and learn Scripture, and I believe this is important to living the good life. But there's an app that you can download on your phone called Verses for Life, and it'll help you to memorize Scripture, and it'll test you, and you can go on there and try to, and it actually gives it to you kind of in little groups that'll help you. If you're trying to lead someone to the Lord, you can go on there and you can click the Romans Road. It's right on there. There's some good things on that, just some good tools for us to use as we go through this. But so tonight, as we look at living the good life, I want to go to Luke chapter number 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 in Luke chapter number 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Yeah, I said that right. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught," or for a drag. "He said, I want you to go back and go to fishing." Now these guys were already finished fishing for the day because they were washing their nets. "And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I got to stop right here for just one second. This is not the main idea of what we're wanting to look at tonight. But if you want to live the good life, you've got to learn to be able to hear when God is speaking to you and respond to what God says. Now, these guys have been fishing all night, and now Jesus looks at them and says, "I want you to go out, and we're going to drag those nets one more time." And Simon looks at him and says, "Yeah, but you don't understand. We've been doing that all day, and we've caught nothing." And now but "nevertheless, at thy word." Sometimes we need to just do stuff because God says do it. Quit arguing with it. Quit trying to balance it out. Quit trying to figure it out. Just go, "God said do it, so I'm going to do it." That will help you to live the good life. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." Look, they've been doing it all day, but they hadn't been doing it under the instruction of Jesus Christ. And now when Jesus says go do it, look, all of a sudden, their nets are about to break because there's so many fish in them. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He realized who Jesus was. For verse number 9, "For he was astonished at all and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." I think it's important for us to look tonight at this verse of scripture in Luke chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11. As you look at verse number 11, and as Jesus has instructed Simon and his buddies to go out and make this drag, and they did, and they caught all these fish, that as that is happening, they realize who Jesus is. They realize that they should be partnered up with him, if you will. And then when Jesus gets there, he says, look, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. And the Bible says that when they got their boats back to land, now these boats were important to these guys. They were fishermen of trade. They were professional fishermen. I mean, they're not like me. Now look, I'm supposed to go bass fishing with a friend of mine here in about March, and we're supposed to go to a real high-end place to fish. When I say that, a place that's well-known for bass fishermen, and I'm going to have to go break my Snoopy rod out of the building because I'm just not a fisherman. I'm going to be embarrassed is what's going to happen. I don't know how to fish. I'm just not a fisherman. But these guys were professional fishermen. So these boats, these nets, all of this equipment that they had was very, very important to them. But as Jesus says, look, you're no longer going to be fishermen of fish, but you're going to be fishermen of men, fishers of men. And the Bible says that they got their boats back to land, and then what did they do? They forsook all and followed him. If you want to live the good life, if you really want to be where God wants us to be, we have to forsake all and follow Christ. He has to be absolute number one in our lives. And we're going to go to some more scripture to help prove this here in just a moment. And you say, well, preacher, this is so obvious. I don't know why you're even wasting time talking about this tonight. But you know, sometimes the most obvious stuff in our life is stuff that we overlook. Sometimes the most obvious stuff in our Christian lives are that we've been saved a little while and we're maturing in Christ, so we say we've been in church for a long time and we get to the place that we think that we kind of know what we're supposed to be doing, and we walk right past the basics and we forget what we really should be doing, forsaking all and following him. I want to give you a quick example. This week Silas called me, I guess it was Monday. He was on his way to school, and listen, back last, it was during the rut. That's how I keep up with stuff. That's time frame in my life. So last fall, during the rut, the deer was running everywhere. I was going up 52, and just out of the blue, there's a deer laying in the road. I mean, I didn't see it. The car in front of me, I seen them swerve. The deer was there. I couldn't do anything. I was in my little Hyundai, that little Sonata that I drive, that little white car. And I went from nose to tail over that deer. I mean, blah, blah, blah. It's a wonder it didn't drag the bottom plumb out of the car. Just on a side note, I wanted to go to the car wash and spray it off right then, because I just knew what the undercarriage looked like on that car. And Autumn said, oh, it'll be okay, don't worry about it. So up until just a few months ago, every time you turned the heat on in that car, it smelled like something awful. That's all Autumn's fault. I just wanted to lay that out there while I was passing. So last year I done that, and it knocked a little piece of plastic loose on the front of the car. So every now and again, when you get on just the right driveway that had gravel on it, there was a little piece of plastic on the front that would hit and just make a little rattle noise. And of course, I always had intentions of crawling up under there and fixing it. Intentions that never went any further. So Silas has been driving my little car to save gas in his truck. Silas gets in whatever vehicle has got gas in it. I'll just tell you exactly like it is. When he gets the car out of gas, he gets in his truck until it's out of gas, and then he switches. But anyway, so he's driving my little car, and he called me Monday, and he said, Daddy, he said, that little black plastic piece must have fell down lower. He said, because it's scraping bad enough, he said, I'm hearing it almost feels like that the car is vibrating. I said, okay. I said, where are you at? He said, I've pulled over right here at Aunt B's. And which was just a little ways from work, and I had driven his truck to work that morning. I said, come by here, switch vehicles with me, and you go on to school. So I knew he was in a hurry, so I went around to the front of the shop there, and I was waiting for him with his keys in my hand. And as he come down the side road, which is about 250 yards up, I can hear the tire on the side of my car. Vop, 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 vop. I mean, it's gone. The wheel is broken. It's bad. It's bad shape. And I said, honey, what in the world? I said, I thought you told me the plastic piece was, I said, did you not get out and look? He said, yeah, I got out and looked, but I didn't really see nothing, so I just thought it was the black plastic piece. I said, did you walk all the way around the car? No, I didn't walk all the way around the car. I said, honey, how in the world? Anyway, I'm starting to get upset. I said, here's your keys. Just go to school. Go. The point of the story is, there is no way in the world that he should have overlooked that tire, because I asked him, I said, when did it start? He said, when I pulled out of the driveway in Pilot Mountain. He had drove all the way. Thank God for keeping him safe coming all the way to Mount Airy with that thing flopping around like that. But I said, and you drove all the way. I said, Silas, there's no way that it was vibrating a little. I said, you had to be coming up the road going. He said, yeah, it was kind of like that. Well, that's not the little black plastic piece on the front. But anyway, everything's okay and everything's, yeah, it'll be fine. But it was so obvious to me. But to him, it wasn't that obvious. You know what? Sometimes in our Christian life, some of the things that are so obvious and that we look and we say, well, I know that. I know that's the way that it's supposed to be. We get to a place to where we get something else going on in our mind. We get in another situation in our life that we walk away from the obvious stuff sometimes and we completely overlook the obvious stuff until God says, wait just a minute. Take notice of this. Look at this. So living the good life tonight, I think it's really important that we realize that we have to forsake all. The Bible says there in verse number 5, he says, nevertheless at thy word, at God's word, they were willing to go back out and do exactly what he asked them to do. And then when he called them out to be fishers of men, he says in verse number 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Have you really forsaken all to follow God and to live the good life? Because tonight as we're sitting here in church and you ask each other what the good life is, we would say, well, the good life is to be in God's perfect will. The good life is to understand where God wants you and to be in great fellowship with God. Well, you know, those things is exactly what we know, but are we willing to forsake all that this world has to offer us in order to follow God's will for our life, in order to have that relationship with God? So we have to ask ourselves tonight, am I really living the good life, or am I just living in a place that I am satisfied in my Christian walk because I know that I'm saved, I go to church, my conscience is soothed, I study my Bible a little bit, or am I completely surrendered unto God, living the good life? Have I forsaken all? Look, Exodus chapter number 20, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Shannon will have them for us. And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Look, this is something that's not changed all the way back to Exodus. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now listen, this goes all the way back to Exodus. And as we're looking at this, see, one thing that I think it's important to point out is in today's time and today's society, they'll say that there are many different ways to many different gods. And that's just not the case. There is one God, and there is one way to that God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the only way. Now look, there may be many ways that got your attention that made you realize that you needed God, but there is only one God and only way one way to that God. That, again, very elementary. But if we walk away from that, or we begin to compromise that, or we begin to look and say, well, you know what, these people over here, I know that they don't believe like I believe. Now look, I'm not talking about your convictions. I'm not talking about your personal things that are in your life that you believe. I'm talking about the things that are in God's word that we absolutely cannot compromise on. If they don't believe the Bible, if they don't believe that there is one God, there is one way to that God, then it's not okay. I'm not saying that you have to dislike, that you have to hate, but what I am saying is that we cannot accept that. We cannot be to the place that we just say, well, they believe this way and that's okay. Because I'm going to tell you something. We're in a world and a society where everything is supposed to be okay. Everything is accepted. Nobody is told no. You might hurt somebody's feelings. Listen, there comes in a place and time where you better care about somebody enough to tell them the truth, even if it hurts their feelings, instead of allowing them to stand before God and not having their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a difference in that. No, not that we should get on our holy high horse and, oh, I'm right. But the Bible is right. I was having a conversation with a young man just this week. Sometimes people, they want to look at us, and because we call out sin sometimes. Listen, you got to call sin what it is. But listen, when we do that, everybody wants to say, well, you're judging me. No, God's word will judge you. And we feel guilty if we call sin sin. We feel guilty because we know that we're guilty of sin, right? Amen. We all have sin. The Bible says if you say you haven't sinned, then you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Okay. So we all know that we have sin. So people want to try to make you feel guilty when you say that sin is sin. But God's word is not changed. So what God's word called it sin is sin. And people want to make you feel guilty and say, well, you're judging me. You think you're better than me. No, I don't. See, I'm guilty of sin too, but that don't change that sin is sin. And that don't change what God's word says. So as we live the good life, we have to be able to stand on some things. We have to realize that we cannot have any other gods before God and that there are no other gods that we can worship other than God. Luke chapter number 9. I'm going to start turning in my Bible just because I can read easier sometimes out of my Bible. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23. I wasn't going to ask Shannon to have all of these down, but I want you to know that I am reading out of God's word. I want you to be able to follow me in God's word. This is not my opinion. I told you as we went through this that there may be times I give my opinion, but I will highlight that as my opinion. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23, and he said to them, oh, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. See, that daily is the thing that we have to concentrate on. You don't have to concentrate on saying I'm going to be a follower of Christ for the rest of my life. I hope you are. That's a great goal. That's what I want to do, is be a follower of Christ all of my life. But you know what's more important than being a follower of Christ all of my life? Is being a follower of Christ right this very moment and tomorrow. Taking up my cross daily and following him. Because if I do it on every one of my tomorrows, if I'm a follower of Christ on every one of my tomorrows, when I stand before God, then I will have been a follower of Christ all of my life, right? You following me in that? Okay. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? If we want to live the good life, we have to deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily and follow Christ. I don't like to deny myself. Now, look, I get no pleasure in telling my kids no. Sometimes they ask for stuff that's just not what I feel is best for them. Are just not something that I'm going to most of the time pay for. I told you I'm a tightwad. So sometimes I have to deny my children. Sometimes I would almost say, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? And if I want to stay out of trouble, I just say, I don't care. But there's time, yeah, I got a good head shake on that one. But there's times that I say, nope, we're not doing that. That's not the direction we're going to go with this. And it hurts to deny others, but nowhere near as bad as it hurts to deny ourselves. See, I'm wanting a new shotgun right now. I don't know why I've got a niche or an itch or a scratch. I've got something. I'm wanting me a shotgun. I need me a semi-automatic. I mean, it needs to be with take the 3 or 3.5 inch. I mean, I'm looking at them online and picking them. I've got it all picked out. But you know what? I don't need a new shotgun right now. I want one. But you know how many times I've had to sit and say, nope, I don't need that. I mean, I've talked myself in and out of it 4 different times. No doubt. And if I could figure out how to go get it without all them seeing it coming out of the bank account, I might not talk myself out of it quite as quick. But we have to... But denying ourselves is not easy to do. Now, let's be serious for just a minute. In our Christian life, sometimes denying ourselves, denying our flesh, is tough. My flesh wants to do so-and-so, but I know that the Spirit of the Lord is leading me in a different direction. Hey, I want to go home and sit down in the recliner and watch TV for a little bit. But I really know that God's speaking to me and He wants me to go get His word out and have a little fellowship with Him. Sometimes I'm good at denying myself and I go get my Bible out, and sometimes I go flip a TV on. But see, if we want to live the good life, it can't be about us anymore. It's got to be all about Him. And it's not that He wants to consume our whole life or absorb us so much that we have to walk around all the time in a suit and a tie and have a Bible up under our arm and sing in spirit. I think we'd be probably a lot better off if we did that. But it's not that God wants to consume us in that so much, but that we have to be able to put Him first in our life, even above our own self. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. I'm trying to hurry. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Do we really love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind? Because I believe that's where the good life is. It's not in possessions that we can have. It's not in the success that we can have. Hey, I like to have nice stuff. You like to have nice stuff. I like to be successful. You like to be successful. But if we want to live the good life, it is in loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Then listen to the next one. And thy neighbors as thyself. Now, are we living the good life? Sometimes, well, and if you continue reading this, this guy tries to be a smart aleck and says, well, who is my neighbor? Why in the world would he try to even do that with Jesus Christ? But anyway, he did. And sometimes we do the same thing. Well, who is my neighbor? I do love my neighbors. Well, your neighbors go to a lot bigger circle than the people that live around your yard. Your neighbors go a lot bigger than that. Do we really love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength? And do we really love our neighbors as ourselves? Because if we love our neighbors as ourselves, I believe that we'll treat them a little different than maybe what we are. If we want to live the good life, there's a lot of instructions in God's word that I know that I'm falling short of. Maybe you're not, but I am. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 26. Let me keep going. Luke 14, verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now look, is Christ really instructing us literally to hate our father, mother? Let's read it again. Father, mother, wife, children, and brethren and sisters? No. He's not literally instructing us to hate those. But what he is instructing us is that he's got to come before all of that. He's got to come before father, mother. Well, he does. Okay, well, let me ask you something. What about when you know that God has spoke to you? Maybe you need to get the word down, and maybe you need to go fellowship a little bit with God, and you know God's leading you to go in there and just read. Maybe just to pray. And when you start in there, the wife calls through and says, are you going to take the trash out? I've told y'all before that's a problem in my house, right? When I can walk right by a full trash can and don't see it. So my preaching has sunk in. I start out the door in the mornings and there's a bag of trash sitting right in the way. There's no possible way that I can get by it without seeing it. But really, when God speaks to us, and something, I use that kind of lightheartedly, but something from this world pulls you in a different direction from what God has told you to do? Are we willing to put all of the world, even the people sometimes that are in our life, aside to follow God? That's what he's saying in this verse of scripture. He's got to come before everything else. Nothing comes before God. Nothing between you and God if you want to live the good life. John chapter number 3, verse number 30. I'm going to stop right here with this scripture. We could keep going, but there's no reason to. I believe the point has been made out of God's word tonight. John chapter number 3, verse number 30. He must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. If you want to live the good life, God has got to increase and you have got to decrease. Something that's not easy. I guess in a way, we want God to be so relevant in our life. We want God to be at the forefront of our life. And at the right times, we want God to stick out in our life. Notice I said at the right times. And then sometimes, if we're not careful, we like self-recognition a little bit too. Hey, I'll be the first to tell you. It would not be fun to stand back there at that back door on Sunday mornings and for all of y'all to come out and say, "Boy, preacher, you really stunk it up today. God's good, but you stunk it up." That wouldn't be any fun. Might be more truthful than what some of you say as you come out the back door now. But it's nice when you get that text that says, "Good message yesterday. Good job yesterday." Or you come out the back door and say, "Preacher, man, that was good." That's nice. If I'm not careful, the opposite happens. I increase and he decreases. And we got to be careful with that, because that is not pointing to living the good life. That is when I become puffed up with pride. And the Bible then says when to take heed, because pride cometh before a fall. And if I get to where I think that I'm doing something, and it don't have to be preaching, it can be anything else. You let see people begin to pat you on the back a little bit and talk about what a good Christian person you are and all these. If we're not careful, we increase, he decreases, and the next thing you know, we're in trouble. We're not living the good life. If you want to live a good life, God's got to be number one in your life. God's got to be at the forefront. There can't be anything between you and God. We got to be sure that we are decreasing, that he is increasing. Did anybody happen to read the article at the front of the bulletin this past Sunday? Anybody read it? Yeah, it was good. I'm going to share it with you real quick. One summer day, my brother and I started from Level Cross to State Road to check on some car parts. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. These two fellows whose picture is on front of this looks like the least likely to be church people of anybody I've ever seen in my life. It says, since it was a nice summer day, we decided to ride our motorcycles. I had recently acquired an antique 1963 Harley Davidson. It ran good, but the nearly 50-year-old wiring harness would break at times and the bike would die wherever you were. We were going toward Elkin on Highway 268, and we noticed dark clouds. Our thoughts were, if we could get to Elkin, we could get under a shelter. Just getting a few raindrops and passing Friendship Racetrack, my bike died. It's hard to put God increasing when stuff like that happens, ain't it? That's when I have to be real careful that my mind don't run away with me. We coasted off the road into a church parking lot. As we were finishing the wiring repair, a car pulled up. Two men asked if we needed help. They had just come from Elkin and told us how bad the storm was there. Heavy rain, wind, and hail. Danny and I thanked the Lord for keeping us safe from the storm and were able to leave the men with a couple of church tracks. A few years later, a good friend told me of someone from Elkin that had gotten saved. When I met him, he looked familiar, but I do not remember names well and could not place him. He told me he was one of the men that stopped to help that day we were on the side of the road. Sometimes God lets us see results and sometimes not. We are to give the gospel even when we don't see results. Now, I try to ask God who I can tell about him instead of asking God, why am I broken down on the side of the road? Now, see, oh, that was written by Bruce Fenstermaker, by the way, and he and Danny are the two hoodlums in the picture. So We may look and we may say, well, my bike's broke down, I'm riding to a storm, all this. That don't sound like living the good life. But if you're letting him increase and you're decreasing, and God sends somebody by your way that you're able to share the gospel with in some way or another, and somehow or the other it affected their eternity, that's living the good life. He must increase. We must decrease. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for everything that you do. God, I know that I'm a failure, and I have no business teaching a lesson like this. But God, you know my heart's desire is to live the good life, to have you first in my life, to have you most in my life, and God, to allow you to increase in my life while I decrease, to follow you, to forsake all, and God, just go after you. And God, I pray that you'll help us, that even when things look like they're broken down, when life looks hard, when life looks burdened, that we look to you for our help and our strength, and that we realize that we can live the good life even in those circumstances and in those times. God, help us to allow you to increase in our lives while we decrease. God, we ask you again to touch all the prayer requests from the beginning of service. God, you know all of those needs. God, we do pray for our country. God, I pray that you'll just bless the leadership. God, I pray that you'll give wisdom. God, I have no idea of any man's heart, especially the leadership of our country. But God, I pray that even through this, if there's some way, somehow, that the gospel can be presented to them, and if they're not saved, that they'll find you through some of the things that they're going through. God, I pray that you'll work in their lives, and that all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.